Waco introduces a new aircraft. Connecticut says the Wright brothers were not first. And money makes the warbirds sit. This is Aero News for Friday, June 7th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Waco Classic Aircraft Corporation has officially unveiled the first conforming new production Great Lakes 2T1A2 by Waco. Much like the currently produced Waco YMF-5D, the new production 2T1A is culmination of a dream and the offspring of an unequaled team of talented engineers, craftpersons, and pilots. The project to reintroduce the Great Lakes 2T1A2 started less than 2 years ago. It's believed to be the only new American-manufactured piston aircraft to be brought to the market in the last 15 years. Production of aircraft for customers is well underway, with the first three currently on the production line. Customer deliveries are expected to start in less than 90 days, with an initial production rate of one per month thereafter. Well, believe me, this is no chicken or the egg story. The Connecticut Senate has passed a bill that displaces the Wright brothers as the first to fly a heavier-than-air-powered airplane. House Bill 6671 instructs the governor of Connecticut to, quote, proclaim a date certain in each year as Powered Flight Day to honor the first powered flight by the Wright brothers, no, by Gustav Whitehead, and to commemorate the Connecticut aviation and aerospace industry, end quote. Fox News reports that, according to Republican State Senator Mike McLaughlin, the Wright brothers would still retain their place in aviation history, quote, they just weren't first, end quote. The controversy stems from information described as photographic proof offered by aviation historian John Brown that shows Gustav Whitehead flew his number 21, dubbed the Condor, for 1.5 miles at an altitude of about 50 feet on August 14, 1901. The flight reportedly took place in the very early morning hours over the dark streets of Bridgeport, Connecticut. But the curators at the Smithsonian say that the claims don't hold up to scrutiny. Tom Crouch, senior curator of aeronautics for the Smithsonian, told Fox News that, quote, you don't legislate history. People make up their minds based, I hope, on some thought given to the evidence, end quote. He says the evidence offered by Brown falls apart on close examination. Crouch said he remains convinced that the Wrights were first and Whitehead, quote, in all probability, never left the ground, end quote. Now, the Smithsonian does have a contract with the estate of Orville Wright that stipulates that they can display an early Wright flyer only on the condition that they do not ever change the narrative about who was first to fly. Connecticut Governor Daniel Mallow is expected to sign the bill into law next week. The Collings Foundation is well known for offering the opportunity to fly in vintage World War II aircraft as a fundraising effort. The group tours the country conducting flying and static display of their B-17 Flying Fortress, B-24 Liberator, and P-51 Mustang. And at most stops, the group publicizes that members of the public can have the opportunity to ride in one of the iconic aircraft as a way to raise money to keep them flying. But not at Reno Stead Airport in Nevada. The group was scheduled to make such a visit to the Nevada airport June 3rd through the 5th this past week, but they were told that while they could put the airplanes on static display, there would be no flying because of concerns about their insurance. Reno television station KRNV reports that the Collings Foundation said that they have $15 million policies on the bombers and carry policies amounting to $500,000 per passenger. But the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority said that they needed a minimum of $1 million per passenger before flights would be allowed, according to the foundation. The Airport Authority has confirmed that they had grounded the flights because of insurance concerns, but they would not confirm specifically what their requirements were. A new report issued Wednesday by the Airline Pilots Association International highlights the growing threat of state-sponsored foreign competition and underscores the need for fundamental changes in laws and regulations that govern the U.S. airline industry and its employees. The report calls on the U.S. government to promote a business environment that gives U.S. carriers the ability to compete and prevail in the international marketplace, especially given the strong competitive cost advantages of many foreign carriers. The association calls for a major policy overhaul in three key areas. 1. Enhancing the aviation business environment. 2. Defending U.S. aviation jobs in the international marketplace. And 3. Strengthening international aviation safety regulations through the International Civil Aviation Organization. Wind Aero News continues. China readies for a manned spaceflight. Applause for TSA. And your mind becomes one with mine.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, June 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Chinese state-run media reports that the country plans to launch a three-man mission to its orbiting Tiangong-1 space laboratory in June, with final preparations now underway. The French news service AFP relays a report from the Chinese Xinhua news agency indicating that the goal of the mission is to further the country's ambitions to construct its own space station. Xinhua reports that during the mission, the Chinese astronauts will teach lessons to schoolchildren via a video feed. Now, that's a novel idea, isn't it? China, which first launched a manned spacecraft in 2003, is now aggressively pursuing a manned space program that includes the space station and a manned landing on the moon, according to an official white paper. They hope to have the station operational by 2020. Beijing says that the space program is representative of China's global rise in technical expertise, as well as the economic success of the ruling Communist Party. The Xinhua news agency said that the launch is currently planned for the middle of this month. More groups are lining up to praise the decision Wednesday by TSA to reverse its proposed policy to allow small knives in the passenger cabins of airliners. Both AFGE and FlyersRights.org say the move protects aviation workers and the traveling public. The American Federation of Government Employees, AFGE's national president, J. David Cox Sr., said, quote, "This decision is the right one for the safety and security of every transportation security officer, airline passenger, and aviation employee," end quote. AFGE is the exclusive representative for the more than 45,000 transportation security officers who screen all commercial airline passengers, baggage, and cargo. Paul Hudson, president of FlyersRights.org, expressed relief that the TSA was shelving and not just postponing its announced rule change, allowing passengers to carry knives of up to 6 centimeters on airliners. He added, quote, "This shows that when air traveler organizations unite and work together, a crazy and dangerous TSA policy like this knife policy, secretly lobbied for by the American Knife and Tool Institute, could be and was properly defeated." End quote. This final story is one of science fiction becoming science fact. Researchers in the University of Minnesota's College of Science and Engineering have developed a new, non-invasive system that allows people to control a flying robot using only their mind. The study goes far beyond fun and games and has the potential to help people who are paralyzed or who have neurodegenerative diseases. The study was published Wednesday in the IOP Publishing's Journal of Neural Engineering. 5 subjects, 3 female, 2 male, who took part in the study were each able to successfully control the quadcopter quickly and accurately for a sustained amount of time. During the study, the subjects involved faced away from the quadcopter and were asked to imagine using their right hand, left hand, and both hands together to instruct the quadcopter to turn right, left, lift, and then fall, respectively. Scientists say once this technology is developed, it could help disabled patients interact with the world, even help patients with conditions like autism or Alzheimer's disease, or potentially help stroke victims recover. Now, while that's certainly exciting news, what I'd like to know is, will I someday be able to perform a Vulcan mind meld? I'm Glenn Boyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.